I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything EPL. My name is Jordan Gifkins, and alongside me is the famous Jake White. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm trying to avoid saying notorious, because I say notorious every time, but I don't know what you're notorious for, to be honest.
What am I famous for?
You're famous for being on JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything EPL, Jake.
So, you saved that pretty well.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Audioboom. Before we get into any of that, Jake, we have a big episode today. It's literally the standard type episode we do every week for the EPL podcast. We're actually recording this on a Wednesday, can you believe it? So we will be covering a slight bit of Champions League, but we will not be covering the second day of fixtures in the Champions League. We won't be covering the second day Champions League nor the Europa League, so we will touch on that next week. But we do get a couple of Premier League teams to talk about from today's games, so that's always good. But Jake, big week in the Premier League, some interesting results, most notably Liverpool. I can't wait to get stuck into them.
Oh my God, it's been too long.
We're having a big game, City versus Chelsea. Our mob versus United was a big game. Alexis Sanchez, big talking point. So we've got a little bit to go through.
May feature later on in the podcast.
Oh, you've just given it away already.
He's certainly not my cold player.
JJ's football jokes.
I've got a joke lined up, but I don't think you'll find it funny.
We're JJ's jokes, realistically. So at the end of the day, as long as we can get some funny material out there, I think that's a winner. As I type into Google, funniest jokes ever.
Wait, what is what joke? Let's continue before I embarrass myself.
Realistically.
Oh, God, my joke's a football joke, and it's not that funny, but we're going to say it anyway. Let's save for JJ's football jokes. Let's go, Jordan.
The first game of the game week here on the early game on Saturday, Manchester City hosting Chelsea. Man City opened the scoring through Gary Cahill, own goal, before Diego Costa found the back of the net in the 60th minute. Willian scoring in the 70th minute before Eden Hazard scored in the 90th minute to give Chelsea a 3-1 victory. Sergio Aguero tried to Kevin Muscat David Luiz, and he didn't prevail. He got sent off, but he didn't quite break his anterior cruciate ligament.
Umbilical cord.
Fernandinho then got sent off for probably protesting the red card, which realistically...
choking Hazard, choking Fabregas a little bit too.
He had a sign on saying choking Hazard, so... I don't know if that's a joke against Man City choking or...
That's what I was going to say.
Is that a JJ's football joke?
Well, I think it might be. A little bit of a sneak preview.
Yes, the statistics for this game were quite even. I didn't watch this game. I watched the highlights of this game. And I remember gauging off the highlights that Man City probably should have at least drawn this game. I remember from the top of my head, Kevin De Bruyne. I don't know how he missed the opportunity he did, but he did. And a player of his ability normally wouldn't be missing those. And I think from that, you just knew it wasn't going to be Man City's day. Jake, what did you take on this game?
I loved it. My main issue with Premier League games over the last year, even 2 years, ever since realistically the last one I can remember, is Liverpool versus City when Liverpool nearly won the title. All the big games against all the big clubs have always been shit. They've always been, nil all draws or 1-1 draws and nothing's happened. But this game literally was fantastic. And I think it's game of the season. We're an absolute country in a while. Literally had own goals, had red cards. I said in the A-League era, the Melbourne City versus Brisbane game literally had everything. This game literally had everything as well. City deserved the win. City should have gone 2-0 up just before Chelsea equalised through De Bruyne's somehow missing from about 3 yards out. And then every single Chelsea goal was just beautiful to watch because I know it's not beautiful to watch a long ball, but Fabregas' pass to Costa for their first goal was terrific. Then their counter-attack when they went from one end of the field to the other in the space of 11 seconds was incredible as well.
Did you count?
And yeah, I didn't, but I saw a video and it was literally 11 seconds. Like, I'm not sitting attacking the piss, say, oh, it's 11 seconds, as fast as fuck. It was literally 11 seconds. Like, it was fine. That was one of the best counter-attacking goals I've seen in a very long time. And then Hazard finished it off, and it was a great finish from Hazard too, and that just proves Chelsea are back. Like, I know that they've been winning games consistently. It's obviously they have, because it's 8 in a row. But they needed one of those games where they came away to a big club and they dispatched of them, and that's exactly what they did against City. They weren't the better team, but they got the 3 points, and convincingly in the end. And now City are looking in the shit because Aguero suspended for 4 games and Fernandinho suspended for 3 games. And it's a very busy period up around the Christmas period. And Aguero's arguably one of the best players in the Premier League. And now he's going to be away for City, like out for City, around the busiest period of the season. So it's a big loss for City. And that could potentially even push them out of the top four, because there's teams like Tottenham that are playing good football and getting good results. And they're really knocking on the door of the top four. And City, I don't know how they're going to go without Aguero. I do write it Iheanacho, but at the same time, I don't think Iheanacho is one of those players that can turn up week in, week out, 4 games in a matter of like 2 weeks sort of player. But I guess he's got a point to prove now, Jordan.
How long's Aguero suspended for?
4 games. I don't know if that includes Champions League. I don't know if he played this morning or not.
I'll check against that for
that. But I do know Iheanacho did score today as well. So
Aguero was on the bench. So he was in the squad.
So Iheanacho is proving he's still up to it as well. Like, he's a good player, but I just don't know how City are going to go without that, because that's 4 Premier League games that he's going to miss, and they're 4 pretty big games as well.
But yeah, obviously, as away to Leicester, Watford's in good form this season. Arsenal, obviously a massive game, probably the one game that they can afford to miss him in is the whole City away trip.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be a difficult one for them, because, like I said, it's a very busy period. It's the busiest period of the season by an absolute country mile. But he does make a return in time for Liverpool away on New Year's Day. Yeah, well, so
what's the date today? It's the 7th of December, and he's missing the rest of 2016 because of that red card, because that's not played till the 1st of January. So, controversy. Chelsea, like you've said, I've said it a lot of times, they look like the champions at the moment, don't they? They look like the team to beat. Yeah. And realistically, well, I can't see them not winning the league from here, just because of the way they... Not because they're out by a considerable margin or anything, but I just don't see them losing to any team at the moment.
I agree with you. Like, they're very simple. Like, their game just then against City reminded me very much of Leicester last season. I think Chelsea obviously are better than Leicester last season, but how they were sitting back and then all 4 of their goals realistically came from a break. Like, they didn't like pass it around a little bit and get up to like 10 to 20 passes and then break down the defence and then score. Literally every single goal was on the break. So,
but that's really well managed, because obviously Conte has had a look at, I mean, obviously going to Man City, you're probably not going to win the possession count. You're probably not going to dominate the game. But he's realised that there's an opportunity to expose, Man City defenders that aren't notoriously fantastic defenders. You've got John Stones. John Stones, obviously, a great player. He's not the best defender, as we know from him, watching him at Everton. Otamendi's had his times when he's not been, the best defender. And Kolarov was playing centre-back, who's not even a centre-back. So, realistically, they exposed the weakness of Man City. And they did it to perfection, Jake. So, like you said, game of the round. I didn't watch it, but I wish I did. I don't even know what I was doing. I was probably.
I think you were out.
Yeah. It's not going to come what I was doing.
JJ's football controversy.
JJ's football diplomatic. I don't even know. Moving on. West Brom 3, Watford 1, this game being played at the Hawthorns. Watford, they came into this game on a bit of good form, as did West Brom. I think I picked this game last week as a game to watch. I reckon it was going to be a really good game, and it turned out quite good. Johnny Evans opened the scoring from, I believe it was a corner, if I'm not mistaken, in the 16th minute. Chris Brunt scored in the 34th minute to give them a 2-0 lead. Cabaselli scored for Watford in the 60th minute before controversy in the 84th minute with Robert Pereira getting himself sent off. I'm not exactly sure what this one was for. I think it was, there was, I'm pretty sure I remember seeing a fight and him being sent off from that fight, if I'm not mistaken, Jake. I'm not too sure. Matt Phillips then got on the score sheet for West Brom. I think he was your bargain buy last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe. Not too sure.
Doing pretty well. He is. Took me on a fantasy this week, mate.
He scored a fantastic goal from the edge of the box, just into the bottom corner. So West Brom have moved up into a very respectable position of seventh on the table. You wouldn't pick West Brom to be a top half team, but they've definitely cemented themselves in that top 10, albeit only by 2 points. But, you know, their form isn't going unnoticed. They've moved above Everton now, unfortunately. But, you know, what can you do? Watford, on the other hand, their early season form has seen them drop out of the top 10 with that loss. But, Jake, West Brom are playing considerably well compared to what we've seen over the last few years. And, probably for a lot of the people watching, I can't say I watch them very often, but it'd be unsurprising most likely to a lot of people that they're in the top 10.
Yeah, well, they're obviously just getting results week in, week out, and you can't take it away from them. They've recruited some decent players, and yeah, what I saw of the highlights, Watford were a bit unlucky, but West Brom are just one of those teams, and, well, wouldn't you say West Brom, Tony Pulis managed teams are just one of those. I hate playing West Brom, I'll put it that way. Like last season against West Brom for Everton, it's a prime example when Everton had 42 shots to West Brom's 4 and West Brom won 1-0. I think that's a prime example of a Tony Pulis managed team. And yeah, they're getting the results, that's the main thing that's working for them, obviously, because they're not playing fantastic football, but they're putting the ball in the back of the net and then sitting back on it, really. And yeah, it can't take it away from them. Watford, on the other hand, are starting to drop off a little bit. 2 losses in a row, and now arguably their best player, Pereira, is out next week against Everton.
Thank fuck.
So I'm hoping, this is probably a stupid thing to say because it's a comeback blowing in the eyes, but I'm hoping Everton can make it 3 losses in a row for Watford. And yeah, they're struggling again. They need to pick up a bit of form too, because although they have had a good start to the season, they're only sitting 7 points off relegation. So if they start consistently losing, they could drop into that little pack that you don't really want to be in.
Very tight league this season, as we can look at the table a bit later on. Tottenham, here. We called it, realistically. You know, they get their first loss of the season. We both thought they were going to come out and absolutely fuck Swansea, and they did. A 5-0 victory for the boys from White Hart Lane. Harry Kane opened the scoring in the 39th minute from the penalty spot before Heung-min Son, our mate, scored in the 45th minute. Harry Kane again after the interval in the 49th minute, made it 3-0. Eriksen then capped off the win with 2 goals in the 70th and 90th minute. All too easy for Tottenham this game. They had 23 shots on goal, 16 on target to Swansea's 0. More corners, all the statistical areas they were far superior, and Swansea played a lot like a team that was sitting bottom of the table, Jake.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised by this game in the slightest. Swansea do have a really good run coming up, so it's a good test for them to hopefully get a few points on the board and get them, hopefully, for their sake. And I like Swansea, so hopefully they can get out of the relegation zone, but this game was just absolute domination. This was a game that I did choose to watch, and I wasn't really that disappointed in, because, honestly, Tottenham should have won by more. And that's concerning from Swansea's point of view, because Tottenham should have probably won about 7 or 8 nil. Swansea didn't look threatening in the slightest, even going off stats as well. They only had 1 shot and it wasn't on target. Tottenham absolutely dominated them. This game reminded me a lot of United versus Burnley, except Swansea's keeper wasn't as good as Tom Heaton, and Tottenham were putting the ball in the back of the net. Like I said, Tottenham should have won by more. It was disappointing to see Dele Alli take a dive to win a penalty against a team that was already struggling as it is. I feel like they need to add further so
agreed.
But nah, Swansea are struggling. Hopefully they, like I said, hopefully they can find where they're going wrong and start to get some points, because they've got a really nice run coming up for them. They've got 7 or 8 games against teams they could potentially nick points off, so it's a good patch for them to get some points. They're only 3 points away from 17th place, so it's not like they're deep into the relegation zone. One win could just push them straight out of the relegation zone. So
yeah,
they've got Sunderland this week, so that's a good chance for them to, at home as well, so they could potentially win that and then get pushed straight out of the relegation zone.
Speaking of Sunderland, Jake, they're the next game here featured.
That's worked very well, Jordan.
They actually got a 2-1 win against last season's champions, unsurprisingly, if you listened to our podcast last week. Robert Huth opened the scoring for Sunderland, an own goal, before Jermaine Defoe made it 2-0 for Sunderland in the 77th minute, a well-crafted goal. Just a poacher's goal, really, for Defoe. He's always been known to just be in the right place at the right time throughout his entire career, and this was no different. Shinji Okazaki made game a little bit difficult for Sunderland in the last 10 minutes, giving them a little bit of hope with 10 minutes to go, but ultimately it wasn't to be, and Leicester just absolutely shit, realistically. They continued to show that potentially last season was a fluke, or that European football is making its toll on them. Probably a little bit of both, I mean, realistically. I think the loss of Kante to Chelsea probably was a little bit bigger than many thought it would be. So, Jake, I'm not sure if you watch much of this game, but not looking good for Leicester, is it?
It's not. I hope they get relegated just for the fucking bands. Yeah, they could potentially. They're only 3 points away from the relegation zone, realistically. I think they're a lot better than a relegation team because they've got players like Mahrez and Vardy in the team. But I would not be surprised at all if Mahrez or Vardy did leave in January. I don't think they will, just on the basis that they're going to get out of their Champions League group. But they're struggling because they've got Champions League this week. I think they've got Champions League tomorrow night, yeah. And then they've got City at home this week. So you'd probably almost pencil that in for a loss. Even though City don't have Aguero, realistically. realistically, you could say that they're not going to win that. And then they've got a few tough games coming up, so they've got to look out because they could quite easily slump into that relegation zone. Jordan, as I start muting a few conversations on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to a fair few people regarding Leicester City this season, and many believe that they're going to be relegated. So it'd be pretty funny, actually, if they did. I mean, it would be sad, but it would be funny at the same time. You can't take away the bans that would happen. Losing to Sunderland, though. I mean, Sunderland have turned a corner. We've seen them turn a corner here since, you know, the opening start of the season when they hadn't won a game. They've definitely improved since they've won a game and decided to play two up front with Anichibi and Defoe, really working wonders for them. But yeah, I mean, Leicester, they need to recover quickly or else they could find themselves in a relegation scrap in the latter part of the season. Jake, moving on here to Stoke City versus Burnley. Jonathan Walters opened the scoring for Stoke in the 20th minute before Mark Munieza scored in the 35th minute, and that was all she wrote in that game, a 2-0 win for Stoke, in a game which was relatively even for the most part. I think Stoke was probably slightly the better team, and unsurprisingly with a front four of Diouf, Shaqiri, Arnautovic and Walters, they should be. not sure where Walters has fitted in there ahead of the likes of Bonnie and Bojan, who were both sitting on the bench.
Realistically, you scored, so you can't take it away from
me. I can't. Joe Allen was also on the bench, yeah.
Well, was Diouf? On my app, it says Diouf was playing left centre mid.
Oh, for me, you're saying right attacking midfield. So, interesting.
Who knows?
The win has propelled Stoke into the top half of the table now, into 9th position. Jake, Burnley now slumped to 15th. I don't really. There's not much to read into this game. I think Stoke's a better team than Burnley, and ultimately a 2-0 victory is probably where both teams are at the moment.
Yeah, well, Stoke are just picking up their form over the last 3 years. The last three seasons, they finished ninth on the table, and now they're sitting ninth, so they're a little bit consistent, Jordan.
Much like
Arsenal. I think you could realistically get a little bit more consistent. Oh, well, we're improving, ever so slightly.
what?
We are. We finished 11th the last two seasons. Now we're sitting in 9th. Couldn't be happier.
Couldn't be happier.
I didn't really think too much of Burnley in this game. I think it's probably a bit harsh, but I don't really think much of Burnley unless they've got Tom Heaton between the sticks. So while he's out, I think Burnley are going to keep this slump going because they are fucking struggling without him. And yeah, I don't really know what more to say. I don't know why, but Boney and Boyan are on the bench. But I guess it worked for them. They got the 3 points at the end of the day. But I think they might want to put them back into the starting team because they've got Arsenal this week. So
maybe they're rested for that game. You never know.
Imagine resting players. I don't know why I said that.
Everyone does it. Stoke City, no, Crystal Palace, what am I talking about? Crystal Palace 3, Southampton 0. Christian Benteke opened the scoring in the 33rd minute before James Tonkins tonked one in the 36th minute. Christian Benteke then rounded off the scoring in the 85th minute to give himself a brace. In a very odd game here, because it felt like Southampton were probably a little bit unlucky to go down 3-0. And for the team that they are, they probably don't deserve to lose 3-0 to Palace, but alas, they did. And you can't take anything away from Palace. They've well-documented, very strong at home, hard to beat at home. And they proved it again. Yeah, well, we won't go into that. Everton is a one-of-a-kind team. But, Crystal Palace, they move up into 14th on the table. They get out of that sort of relegation scrap for the time being. Southampton, just when you think they're about to turn a corner and continue on their form, they hit a roadblock, Jake.
Yeah, well, I don't know what happened with Fraser Forster.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Don't know what he was doing. I wouldn't have minded if he did that a week before so he could give Everton a goal, but realistically, if he did that against Everton, there wouldn't have been someone there to finish it anyway. don't know what he was doing. Like, I expect a lot more of a keeper from Fraser Forster's quality. I'll rate him as probably England's number two at the moment. Number three, potentially. So if he's number three for England, he's probably pretty decent, I guess.
If you want to go into that argument, who's ahead of him? You got Heaton, obviously, who's ahead of him. Joe Hart's arguably ahead of him. I would even put a player like Jordan Pickford pretty fucking close. So,
And then you got Butland, who's injured. When's Butland coming back? He's been injured all season.
I thought he broke his leg, didn't he?
Fantasy all season.
Didn't he break his leg?
No, he's probably getting up on the bench of fantasy then.
You probably should try him out. Fantasy game report. Yeah, continue.
but, yeah. Don't know what to say on this game. Palace got 3 points. Not exactly too fond of Palace at the moment. So, hope they get relegated. Any team with a manager of Alan Pardew's qualities is going to try down a championship, so.
Well, he escaped one, didn't he, here? Because we've been talking about him getting fucking resigned, or resignation, I don't even know, fired from his job for a little bit here. So him winning 3-0 against Southampton certainly didn't do anything to harm his chances of staying in the job, Jake. So get around him. Moving on here to the London Derby. When is it never a London Derby? West Ham United versus Arsenal. A 5-1 shellacking. West Ham United, absolute shit. Mesut Ozil opened the scoring in the 24th minute, silencing those who are comparing him to Payet. I think it's fair to say Ozil is above and beyond Payet at the current moment in time.
Payet's fucking shit.
Alexis Sanchez scored the first of his hat-trick in the 72nd minute before scoring again in the 80th minute. Andy Carroll came off the bench and scored a poacher's goal, rebounding off the crossbar and heading into an open net pretty much. in the 83rd minute before Oxlade-Chamberlain and Alexis Sanchez scored two goals within 2 minutes of each other. Alexis Sanchez chipping the goalkeeper, Oxlade-Chamberlain scoring a nice little finesse outside the box to round off the rout. Jake, Arsenal, some good team this season, are they not?
I'm going to say something that could be controversial, but I think Arsenal could make a push to become champions of Europe this season.
What, for Champions League? Or?
They wouldn't be in Europa League, would they? Because they guaranteed who her first place is.
I know, it's a Premier League podcast and you're talking about Champions League. I mean, I don't know.
But at the same time, George, I think it's a bit of a dark horse situation. They play fantastic football, and I think Arsenal fans will take a Champions League trophy. I think they're Chelsea's biggest contenders right now as well for the title. They've gone, I think, 11 unbeaten in the Premier League now. They're, I think right now, apart from Chelsea, they're the form team in the Premier League as well. And Sanchez, I think he's the best player in the Premier League right now as well. So you've got a bit going for them. And I know West Ham obviously aren't exactly fantastic this season, but going to the Olympic Stadium, putting five past them is no easy feat, because I would love to see Everton try and do the same thing. But yeah, Sanchez is honestly, I think Sanchez right now is the only player in the Premier League that you could put in the world-class category. There's great players in the Premier League right now, but Aguero isn't world-class right now, obviously, because he's not playing. Coutinho's injured. Costa, Hazard, you could potentially make a shout for, but I think Sanchez is the only player you could realistically put in a world-class category. I think there's, my world-class category is there's only like 10 players in the world that are world-class. So I'd put Sanchez in there, because what he does each week on the ball is fucking fantastic. And every single goal that he scored was fantastic. Our mate Oxlade-Chamberlain scored an absolute fucking worldie too. What a lad.
Sponsor of the show, good friends of the show.
West Ham is shit. And honestly, Payet is the biggest disappointment I've seen this season from any club, because usually if West Ham were shit last season, Payet would grab the game by the balls and get them a result, and he's not done that once this season.
Do you think he's almost a little bit distracted because he knows that there's, you know, there's transfers news around him, he knows he has offers to go to teams like Arsenal, like, you know, Madrid's probably been linked to him, and all those big clubs have been linked to him. Do you reckon he's a little bit distracted and kind of wants to leave West Ham?
Well, he probably does, like, realistically. And I think he could be a player that could be a handy pickup for any team, obviously. I think he's a good player. And he's not, it's not like teams aren't going to look for him in January, because he, like, I know there's a fair few players in the world that aren't exactly transferred in January because Champions League clubs can't sign, well, they can sign players from other Champions League clubs, but then they still can't play in Champions League. But then there's teams like Arsenal or something. I think he'd be a fantastic player for Arsenal, because Carthola's injured at the moment, and he could slot right into that left mid spot, which Sanchez would usually play in. Like, could you imagine a front four of Payet, Sanchez, Ozil, and, like, Walcott or something like that?
Or Ox, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, like, I think Payet would be a fantastic signing for a team like Arsenal. Even a team like, oh, I don't think City, like, he'd be a good signing for City, obviously, but I don't think City would sign him.
I don't really think he's the type of player that City need, to be honest.
Exactly. I think if Arsenal would go for him, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. So I think he'd be the perfect player for Arsenal. He'd slot right into that spot that Sanchez used to play in, even though Sanchez is, and now Sanchez is a striker for Arsenal. So I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be more surprised if he was at West Ham in February than if he wasn't, to be honest. I think West Ham are on the down. I don't think they're going to get relegated, but I think Payet, as a player, is bigger than West Ham as a club right now.
Yeah, I can't disagree with any of that. I'm definitely leaning towards Payet's probably going to leave. If not January, then I don't think there's any more, you know, time for him at West Ham beyond this season. Going into next season, he definitely will be somewhere else. Moving on to game of the round, Jake. Bournemouth 4, Liverpool 3.
Oh my god, let's go. Yes.
Sadio Mane opened the scoring in the 20th minute after Boric was probably a little bit at fault for it. Albeit Mane did well. A little bit. Before Divock Origi scored in the 22nd minute where Boric was at fault for it. Great finish though. Take nothing away from the finish. Tight angle. He's done very well to calmly put that in. Callum Wilson scored from the penalty spot in the 56th minute. Clear penalty for me. Emre Can then scored in the 64th minute and it looked done and dusted. 3-1 up with 25 left on the clock. Jake, it was not to be. Ryan Fraser in the 76th minute gave Bournemouth a lifeline. 3 minutes later, Steve Cook controlled one in the box and slotted it into the bottom corner to give Bournemouth a 3-3 scoreline. Don't know what else it is. Before Nathan Ake, on loan from Chelsea, did Chelsea a favour. And scored in the 90th minute, bundled one over the line after Steve Cook let loose from about 25 yards. And Karius, or whatever his fucking name is as bad, if not as, well, he's worse, in my opinion, than Mignolet. So
I think he's worse by an absolute fucking
mile. It's saying a lot, because Mignolet does that crazy shit every so often, but overall, pretty average keeper. And they've got a bloke in there that is, in my opinion, he's lost in the game. And it's fair to say that both keepers in this game were not up to scratch in the slightest.
not at all.
I think it goes a little bit with the theme of the next game after this when we talk about it. But Jake, Bournemouth getting the chocolates. I might have mentioned in the podcast last week, I felt like Bournemouth were a sneaky chance to get something in this game. With Coutinho out, actually, I think I might have done it. I don't know if I did my bet 365 bet of the week on it, but if I did, it would have been absolutely amazing because I didn't put money on him and I should have. but Jake, your take on the game?
This is why I literally put Liverpool out of any title contention this season. They're a fantastic team. They play some terrific football and they've got no European commitments, but look at their two losses this season. They've lost to Burnley and Bournemouth. And there's nothing against Burnley and Bournemouth as clubs, but dead set.
Champions don't lose games to them.
Exactly. I'm happy that they lost.
You almost sound disappointed.
I am. In a way, like, I'm not disappointed because I'm happy they lost and I don't want them anywhere near the winning the championship or anything. Like, well, we hope they win the championship because I wish they were in the second division. but it's just, it confuses me because they piss me off so much because they play against teams like Chelsea and City and Arsenal and United and all that stuff, and they'll win all them games. But then they'll play against like Bournemouth and Burnley and Sunderland and bloody Aldershot Town or some shit like that, and they'll fucking lose. It doesn't make sense in the slightest. And I'm happy about that because I want them to lose games. But if I'm being honest with Liverpool and stuff and taking my bias out of it, they're a fantastic team and they play some terrific football. And they should be challenging for the title this season, but I don't think they will. I think they're more in a Champions League battle than what they are for a title challenge.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with any of that. I personally, like, you know, I'm an Everton fan as well, and I fucking enjoy watching Liverpool play, so, which sucks because I wish they were shit, but realistically they're not. But I think the loss of Coutinho is going to play a much bigger part than many think. I think they'll bounce back this week. But we'll get into that in the preview a little bit later, Jake. We'll move on here to Everton 1, Manchester United 1, Ibrahimovic scoring in the 42nd minute. Steckelenberg went walkabouts, and no one knows what he did that for. Before Leighton Baines scored in the 89th minute from the penalty spot, it felt like it was coming all second half. Realistically, I think Everton were the better team. Mourinho doesn't agree with me, controversially, but the penalty, fortunately, awarded, and against Fellaini, of all people.
Once a blue, always a blue.
Exactly right. He gave us a point, and, I mean, I would have taken that pre-game, and I'm taking it now. Jake, De Gea, didn't have much to do, made a great save early in the second half. Probably the difference at the end of the day, because Steckelenberg did nothing, and De Gea was the only one of the keepers tested at all, really.
I'm disappointed that we got a point. To be honest, I think we should have got 3 points. Rojo obviously should have been sent off roughly 15 minutes in. Stecklenburg should have stayed in his goals. It was a blatant penalty as well. Barella's missed a one-on-one. Well, it was a great save, in fairness, but probably should have put it away. And honestly, we should have won the game. I think United were good on the ball and around, like holding possession and stuff. And lead up play, United were above and beyond the better team by an absolute country mile. Well, what is that country mile? We were pretty good once we changed to 4-4-2, which we should be playing every week anyway. But yeah, I think we should have got 3 points. And I don't want to sit here complaining about Everton every single week, because I think this is a very positive game for us, and it's put me in a positive mindset for Everton going forward into a busy period. But at the same time, I think if we pick up 3 points against United at home, it changes everyone's mindset. Like, completely. If we nick another goal, if Rojo gets sent off, we win. I know that it's only a send-off, and then they would have brought on a defender and stuff like that, but I think if Rojo gets sent off, we win, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, it's frustrating, and I know I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, the FA are against Everton, and they only care about big clubs winning games and stuff like that, but at the same time, I feel like if that was the other way around, like if that was Funes Mori doing that to Ibra, Funes Mori would have got sent off.
Yeah, protected species.
I don't want to be controversial in that manner, but I do think if it was the other way around, it would have been sent off. But that's not just me saying it as well. It's a lot of people would say very, very similar things. But at the same time, realistically, overall, the game did deserve a draw, but I think we should have won just because they should have been down to 10 men for 75 minutes, and Stecklenburg is the shittest keeper in the Premier League.
Just on this game, don't want to go too long. Mason Holgate came on. For me, was the best player after he came on the pitch. He was easily the best player on the pitch. And Yannick Bolasie, unfortunately, has done his anterior cruciate ligament and will miss the remainder of the season, most likely.
They've set a date, actually. It's not the remainder of the season. He's going to play the last two games, bro. They've set a date for the first weekend of May.
If I was Everton, I probably wouldn't risk him.
At least we don't have to worry about him missing him playing in the African Cup of Nations, because we've already fucking got him injured.
Sorry, fucking whatever country you're from.
That's all right. We're going to be missing our best player for that anyway. So. Fuck it, Lewis. Adrisa Gay is going to be gone for a month.
Lukaku.
We're not racist here, JJ, that's what we think.
Fortunately, United will be missing Pogba.
I'm Nigerian.
I'm going to stop. moving on to the next game. Middlesbrough 1, Hull City 0. I didn't watch this game, Jake. Didn't watch the highlights at all. Gaston Ramirez scored in the 60th minute, though, after Chambers was unable to knock down a Borough corner. That was from the left-hand side. Ramirez was first to react inside the penalty area, and he just ghosted it and nodded a close-range header.
Did you read that?
Diamande defending terribly. No, what are you talking about? I've watched the game.
can't say that I woke up at 7 o'clock to watch this game.
Oh, look, I mean, it probably wasn't on our to-do list on the day of yesterday, but at the same time, Middlesbrough, they get a victory against a Hull team that is going down, down. Hull City is going down. I don't know what song that is. We can't really spend too much time on this. We literally know nothing about the game. Jake, any opinion on it, though?
I forgot what was on until, like, the game was Tuesday morning, and I didn't realise that the game had been played or the result or anything until I was watching Fox Sports News at about 8:30 last night. So I think that proves how much I had a take on the game. It was a good finish by Gaston Ramirez, realistically. There was a guy on the back post and probably should have cleared offline, but at the same time, I don't think Gaston Ramirez is one of those players you think is going to score a header from a corner. Albeit, Ross Barkley did a few seasons ago as well, so you've never seen change of things, Jordan.
Bit of a YOLO, mate.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to, like you said, not going to spend too long on this game, I think. Middlesbrough, I'd like Middlesbrough. Well, I'm happy they got the win. I don't like Hull. I'm happy they lost.
That wraps up the last week of the Premier League. Let's have a look at the table. Chelsea. Yep. Top of the league, 34 points. Arsenal second, 31 points. Liverpool and Manchester City make the top four on 30 points. Tottenham rebounding with that 5-0 win, move into fifth on 27, or they stay in fifth on 27 points, but they bridge that, they close that gap between them and the top four. Manchester United in sixth on 21 points. West Brom and Everton and, just both of them, on 20 points in 7th and 8th. Stoke City in 9th on 19. Bournemouth and Watford both on 18 points. Southampton in 12th on 17. Middlesbrough in 13th with 15 points. Crystal Palace and Burnley both at 14 points. Leicester City in that relegation scrap now, just 2 points above relegation zone, on 13th points in 16th position. West Ham, they are in 17th on 12 points. And in the relegation zone, Sunderland, who are performing a little bit better, on 11 points, alongside Hull, also on 11, and Swansea dead last on 9 points. Jake, the top scorers in the league, Alexis Sanchez and Diego Costa, both have 11 goals to the season. Aguero, who now misses 4 games, has 10. And Hazard, Defoe and Ibrahimovic all have 8. And a few players on 7 and 6. And the like in the Dishmaster Award, Kevin De Bruyne has 7 assists. Nemanja Matic has 6 and 5 assists to Lallana, Costa, Payet, Pedro Rodriguez, Coutinho and Zaha.
James Rodriguez
moved to Chelsea. Fuck, can you believe that? That's all the Premier League in the last week. That's all we got time for in the Premier League the last week, that is, because we are already 41 minutes into the podcast. GG.
Holy fucking shit.
We will quickly move on here to our favourite segment.
JJ's
football jokes. I mean, I haven't got any football jokes, Jake. You said you have one, so let's hear it.
Yeah. I don't even know if you'll understand it. It doesn't even make all that much sense, and I'm not going to claim this one. This I heard it on YouTube, halfway through a YouTube video. What do you call a piece of bacon in a bush that can take free kicks?
What?
The meat tree pyet.
Oh my god. That's gonna be the worst number fucking joke I've ever heard, Jake. So,
but it got a laugh, realistically.
It got more a laugh than any other joke on JJ's Football Fix.
I think it's one of those ones where it's so bad that it's reasonably funny.
I am just scouring the internet right now, just searching for
you're scouring the back of your brain to see if you've got any in there.
Oh yes, no, 100%. I got a joke for you.
Do you, Jordan?
I think so. I'm just trying to understand the joke firstly.
I've just gone on funnysexjokes.com.au, so good
luck. Oh, I'm on laughfactory.com.
No, you're not.
Jake.
Jordan.
How do astronomers organise a party?
Yeah.
They plan it.
Oh my fucking god.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, you gotta give that one.
Realistically speaking, it's not that bad. That's probably one of the better ones that I've heard.
Jake.
Jordan.
What type of sandals do frogs wear?
What type?
Open toed.
That's probably the best one, actually. Jake. You've beaten it already. Jordan.
How much room is needed for fungi to grow?
What?
How much room is needed for fungi to grow? Or fungi? How much room?
How much?
As mushroom as possible. I don't think you'd get that one. I don't know if you know what fungi was.
How do you count cows?
I don't know.
With a calculator.
Oh my god. Fucking hell. Fucking giggles, man.
How did the witches team lose the baseball game?
How?
Their bats flew away. You're right, let's move on.
Hey, Jake.
Yeah, do you want?
What type of sandals do frogs wear?
What type?
Open toed. Alright, Jake.
What are we moving on to, Jordan?
What time it is? It's time for the Fantasy Scout Report!
Dun, dun.
Scout Report! Pins and needles!
Okay, my hot player for this week, Jordan. We're not going to go over what happened last week because my hot player last week is my cold player for this week. My hot player last week is Alexis Sanchez. I have written down next to his name, sick cunt. I think I might go into a little bit more detail than that. Mm. Alexis Sanchez has scored 3 goals and got 1 assist in the last game week. He's got 37 points over his last 2 game weeks, which is the best return by any fantasy Premier League player over the last 3 seasons in the matter of 2 weeks. And I don't think there's any reason why he shouldn't put in his team, as Arsenal do have a decent run coming up over the Christmas period. I think Alexis Sanchez will play a fair amount of games as well. So,
if Arsenal play a game, I think Alexis Sanchez will play a game.
Well, he's valued at 11.6, which is by far the most expensive midfielder. The next expensive midfielder is Eden Hazard at 10.7, so I think that should prove how
really
good
Alexis
Sanchez is.
It's like
0.9. In Fantasy Premier League terms, 1 point is pretty fucking big.
Thank you, Fantasy
and Scout. I've got both of them in my team, so I've spent a bit of time.
Jeez, you are reeling it in, aren't you?
My call player this week is Sergio Aguero at 13.1. I think it is wise, if you are spending 13.1 on a player, you probably want them to play, and Aguero is not for the next 4 weeks. So if you do have him in your team, I suggest that you do take him out, because you could get a player like Harry Kane or something for 3 points less than that, and you could spend 3 points of that on a midfielder like Coutinho, who's out, on a player like Alexis Sanchez. So, just listen to me. And my bargain for this week is Jermaine Defoe, just because he scores literally every single goal for Sunderland, or assists. So, it's 7.7 at up front. I think that's a player.
Who did you say? Defoe?
Jermaine Defoe, yeah. He's been involved in 75% of Sunderland's goals this season. So, although they aren't scoring all that many, when they do, Jermaine Defoe's involved in 75% of them, so...
I've got Lamela, Coutinho and Sterling in my midfield all starting in Fantasy Premier League.
Yeah, you could say that you're having a bit of a shit time, Jordan.
Ibrahimovic is still captain, so just had a look at it then. So that's always nice and tidy. Darren Fletcher sitting on my bench, very cute as always. Jake.
He's got Darren Fletcher cute.
Holgate sitting next to him. Jake, if I had Lamela and Coutinho in my team and I had 0.2 in the bank, so if I was to take them out and place 2 players in with a total of 15 points, who should I spend those points on?
If I was in your position, have you got Ibrahimovic in your team?
I do.
I'll take Ibrahimovic out, put Harry Kane in, then take Lamela and Coutinho out and put Sanchez and Matt Phillips in.
Shit, how many fucking champions do you think I can do?
Do as many as you want. You just get minus 8 points.
I'll take out Ibrahimovic. Harry Kane.
Diego Costa, maybe. I think we should save this for after the podcast, Sean.
I've already started. Matt Phillips. and a 9.7 mid, Jake. Sadio Mane.
9.7. Well, maybe, yeah.
I don't know. You know what? Maybe this is for after the podcast. Who really knows? Maybe we'll take our Stealing while I'm at it. Oh, just going all wet guns blazing. Jake, but we will move on to the preview. without further ado, Jake, we will move on and have a look at the upcoming... Oh, no, Champions League. Fuck, what are we doing?
Fuck the Champions League.
I will just quickly go through results in case people have missed them. Arsenal travelled to Basel in the country of Switzerland. And they
can you hurry up? It is so fucking hot in my room right now.
that might be the only English team involved. Man City drew with Celtic 1-1. So, moving on here to the Premier League fixtures. I just sneezed.
that was the cough, but yeah.
The other game, Saturday, Watford at home to Everton. This game being played at Vicarage Road Stadium on Vicarage Road. Everton in 8th, Watford in 11th. Head-to-head suggests two draws between these two sides last season. Before that, nothing in the last 5 years. Jake, I think this is going to be a draw.
I think Everton are going to win. And I don't usually say that all that much on this podcast, but Pereira is obviously, well, not obviously, but arguably, West Ham's Watford's best player. And he's out. And Everton is starting to slowly being more the last 30 minutes of the United game, show signs of light. And hopefully they can continue those signs of light against Watford. And I'm going for a 2-1 Everton win.
I'm hoping they can also continue their shines of light, Jake. Moving on to the next game, Swansea City hosts a Sunderland outfit who was fresh off a daisy win. Swansea bottom of the table, 20th, Sunderland 18th. Interesting game, relegation scrap. History between these two sides cannot be separated. 2 wins for each team and 6 draws. Jake, based off that, I do think it's going to be a draw. In my opinion.
Sorry, what game is this? I was just sending a Snapchat to the girlfriend.
Swansea Sunderland.
Swansea Sunderland, yeah, I'll go draw. I think both teams are desperate for points, so they'll get one each.
Cute. Moving on here, Hull City host Crystal Palace, the Palace of Crystals, at the KCOM Stadium, good stadium. Hull City sitting in 19th position, Crystal Palace in 14th position. Palace have been the more favoured side in recent history, or the last time these two teams played was a 2-0 win for Hull City back in the Premier League in 2015 of April. Probably should have said April of 2015, but YOLO. Jake, I think this is going to be another draw, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say either team's going to win, because I think it's going to have a draw.
That's good. Moving on here, Burnley host Bournemouth in... and this, fuck, these games are shit this week. Burnley in 15th, Bournemouth in 10th. Bournemouth fresh off a win against Liverpool. Burnley fresh off a loss against Stoke. Tom Heaton still probably not around. 2 draws between these two sides back in 2014 in the Championship. Jake, I think it's probably going to be another draw, if I'm honest. If anything, Bournemouth might win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another draw as well.
I've literally gone for 4 draws in a row. Imagine. I think we're going to get our first result here. Arsenal at home to Stoke City. Arsenal in great form, second in the league. Stoke City improving. In 9th, those Arsenal tend to win these fixtures and have won 2 of the last 3, the last one being a draw back in January. But I think they're going to win this one, Jake.
Yeah, Alexis Sanchez will score about 15 goals. nah, Arsenal will win 2-0, I think.
Yeah. Leicester City here host Manchester City, the two cities at the King Power Stadium. Manchester City in 4th. Leicester City in 16th. History between these two sides tends to point towards a Man City victory, albeit last season. Leicester almost did the double against them. They won 1 and drew 1. Albeit they're a different side this season, I think Man City is going to rebound from their loss at the weekend and get a win here.
Yeah, I think both teams obviously coming off Champions League commitments, but... Yeah, I can't really look too far past a Manchester City win, especially the fact that Leicester are playing in Portugal tomorrow morning and City were at home against Celtic on Wednesday morning. So
you've got to factor these things in, don't you?
I think it's a big factor, Jordan. And Leicester obviously putting so much effort into the Champions League. I think they'll just get absolutely... I honestly think they'll get tonked, but I don't think... I think Manchester City really needed to... really need to take advantage of it as well, because obviously with Aguero out 4 games, they need to try and pick up as many points as possible, Jordan.
We can say as much as we want about this fixture. It's up to the players at the end of the day, and that's what counts at the end of the day, Jake. Chelsea host West Bromwich Albion, a team in inspired form. Chelsea top of the table, West Brom in 7th position. Chelsea tend to get the biscuits in this fixture, albeit last season, or last time they played, was a 2-2 draw back in January. Prior to that, West Brom actually had a win in May of 2015. Oh, but Chelsea beat them in August 2015. So, realistically, I think it doesn't really make a difference. Chelsea's going to win this game. Albeit, I think it's probably only going to be something like a 2-1 result, Jake.
I think Chelsea are going to tonk them. I think West Brom are going to go in with a lot of confidence, but for West Brom's sadness, I think Chelsea are going to just come out and get 3 or 4 goals. I know that Chelsea also aren't coming off Champions League football as well, which plays a massive factor again. Yeah, I think West Brom travelling to Stamford Bridge are going to get a similar treatment to what Everton did.
Oh, you can only hope. Southampton host Middlesbrough at St Mary's Stadium Cathedral. Sorry. Southampton need to recover, and they are in 12th position. Middlesbrough in 13th. One win for either of these two sides back in the championship of 2011-12. Since then, they haven't played, but I do think Southampton is going to bounce back with a convincing 2-3-0 victory here.
Yeah, I can't really look past Southampton in this one. I think they are playing some fantastic football. The only reason why I think, again, for about the fourth time in a row, I think they may slip up just because they have Europa League on Friday morning, but I think they are the better team, and I think they will get the chocolates done.
Jake, Manchester United versus Tottenham Hotspur. This is probably a game of the round, I reckon. And this is also where the Bet365 Bet of the Week comes in. But Manchester United, I'll get to that in a minute. Manchester United in 6th, Tottenham in 5th, both enjoying pretty good seasons. Manchester United probably slightly under what they should be doing, but Tottenham enjoying a good season. History between these two sides tends to vary. Tottenham won the last game back in April of this year. Manchester United won the last time this fixture was played, 1-0 in August of last year. So, relatively speaking, probably a tough one to predict. I'm actually going to predict a draw, and the Bet365 Bet of the Week is a draw, paying $3.40. My reason being, Tottenham tend to draw plenty of games. They've actually drawn a total of 6 of their 14 games this season. Manchester United have drawn 6 of their 14 games and are coming off the back of a Ukrainian trip on the Friday morning. I think it's Thursday night there or something, I'm not too sure. Alas, they have to turn around and, play after travelling to Ukraine just 3 days earlier, which is never an easy trip, as we would know, being Everton supporters and having to watch Everton in the Europa League on a Friday morning after travelling to Ukraine was not good. I think it's going to be a draw, Jake.
Yeah, I think it will too. I think both teams coming off European football, and United have drawn 4 of their last 5 Premier League games as well, and we obviously have made it well documented about Tottenham's draws as well. I think it'll end a draw. hopefully it's an entertaining draw. Hopefully it's like a 2-2 or 3-3, because this would be a good game to watch.
I agree. Liverpool here host West Ham United. Only one result here for me. Liverpool sit 3rd, West Ham sit 17th. West Ham being shit. Liverpool will be very keen to avenge their defeat last week and get revenge from last season. I don't even know, Jake. I don't even know. I think it's going to be a Liverpool victory.
I think they will get their revenge. West Ham are bang average this season, and I don't know if they have a few players back. I know Andy Carroll did make his return against Arsenal, but Antonio was out, so I don't know if Antonio will be back. If Antonio is back and they get IU into the starting team, they have a front four of like Piatt, Antonio, IU, and Carroll, they could potentially cause a keeper like Karius a bit of problems, but I think Liverpool will get the chocolates about 3-1.
Yeah, Jack, I would talk about we've got fixtures on Wednesday and Thursday next week. I would talk about them, but I feel like we don't really need to be honest.
We will give a preview to the fixtures next week before the A-League hour.
Yeah, we'll quickly skim through them. And then we can review them the day of the games. That's fucking great. but until then, Jake, until next Tuesday when we return for the A-League hour, that's all we have time for. Hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you're not following us on Facebook and Audioboom, do so. We upload every Tuesday and Friday of the A-League and EPL season, and we'll be doing so until the end of the A-League and EPL season, where we take over a new sport for the off-season. So that'd be good. And obviously, still post a little bit extra stuff here and there on this channel. I don't know. Jake, you know what? That's a long way away.
Transfers. Transfers.
We all love transfers. Here at JJ's Football Fix, we love transferring players out, which is what I'm about to do in the Fantasy Premier League. But until then, Jake, it's been an honour as per usual. And until Tuesday, have a good one.
And as always, have a nice... I'm on top of the world, hey.